Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on Quirky Catnips, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park. This frightfully funny tale is narrated by the ever-so-snarky Skitters the Cat. Find out what happens when Skitters goes cattywampus for a kitten named Harriet. Tune in each week to hear a new chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat, only on Pet Life Radio. Meow, kitties!
Audio recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
Splat!
Meow, bitches.
Twisted Tales by Skitters the Cat. Part 19.
When dealing with a cat like Harriet, there's a lot of wisdom in the adage, it's better to remain silent and be thought the fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. Though there were times when I would have dearly loved waggling my ribbed, ham-colored tongue at Harriet, I usually abstained, mostly because I was afraid of Harriet. She had me totally pussy-whipped. I never challenged Harriet when she'd spin her religious palaver about the celestial kingdom. Why she thought cats were even welcome there is still a little puzzling. Does God really want cats in his house? I always thought cats were created just to be ironic. And then there was Harriet's request to add a third tail to the mix. I allowed Harriet to think I was entertaining the idea, when in fact, I was unnerved by the whole thing. It seemed as if Harriet needed a little strange and wanted me to be okay with it. Who's the male cat in this relationship anyway? The whole thing was upside down. The folks remaining at Gecko's Gulch hadn't mentioned a word about Harriet absconding to Las Vegas with Evangeline. Part of this was because their whereabouts were supposed to be secret. Then Nancy Neptune set the record straight, and I fell into a deep depression. This led to a phase I can only describe as good kitty gone bad. I began to pull stunts on the sly. I hid under the bed for a whole night, just so I didn't out myself as the one who had jumped on the counter and snarfed an entire blueberry cobbler. This led to a mighty case of the runs, which I accidentally dribbled down the side of my litter box. To clean up from the mess, I dragged my butt across the floor. I licked toothbrushes. I batted a cell phone under the refrigerator. I rolled in the dirt and climbed into fresh laundry. I discreetly tore up the backside of the curtains in the family room. I dug up the marigolds in the courtyard and tried to pretend the squirrels did it. I was basically using Scotty Sphincter's playbook. Act, but don't own it. In a way, it was quite titillating. I finally understood how a hairless man like Scotty could achieve great public success, yet somehow lead a secret life no one suspected him of having.
Chapter 19. Scotty Sphincter.
Everyone knows honesty is the best policy. You'd think a guy who could make it through medical school and then become a highly specialized surgeon would comprehend a simple concept like this. But not me. I'm so dumb. If I had another brain, it would die of loneliness. To make matters worse, the one I do have is on the brink of extinction, as is my marriage. Nitwit that I am, my ideas for resolving years' worth of problems in just a few months is just more proof that I am truly delusional. Even my music, the one thing I've always been confident about, seems to be having unintended consequences. The tour to promote Love and Life on Uranus is drawing record crowds, yet we're still operating in the red. Part of it is due to unforeseen errors. A few weeks ago, just as we were belting out the chorus of Busta Grumpy, the pyrotechnicians miscalculated, literally blowing up one of the stage sets. The fans thought it was just part of the show until security started clearing them out. The success of the rectal surgeons hinges on our fitting into a very niche category. Our songs, not to mention our CD covers, are so grossly graphic, we've become somewhat of a cult classic. Admittedly, any Yahoo can sing songs about packing a brownie custard, but spicing it up with actual medical vernacular is something quite unique unto the rectal surgeons. Initially, I worried that once we revealed ourselves as actual MDs, that gravy train would dry up like a pill junkie's bowels. Much to my delight, it seems to be having just the opposite effect. We go out on stage each week, dressed in outrageous costumes, screaming songs about buttholes, and our fans lick it up. They seem to like the fact that we behave in the most reprehensible ways on stage, only to suit up in scrubs afterwards and act like upstanding citizens the rest of the time. I'm not the only one with big problems this summer. Moon McKenna, my sister-in-law, is, by her own acknowledgement, in meltdown mode. Marta, her mother-in-law, was recently put on hospice. She isn't expected to live more than a few months. Moon can be as cutting as a hacksaw, but we've grown quite close since I married Blue. Over the past year, I've spent a lot of time at Gecko's Gulch. As a result, Moon and I developed a bond that has left some people scratching their heads. Randall, Moon's gay husband, is only too happy to have another male figure in the house. Moon and Blue have always had a rather contentious relationship, despite the fact that they're identical twins. I've become neutral territory for these ladies, acting as a buffer when things get tense between them. I was secretly flattered to be the first one Moon called with the tragic news about Marta. I've gotten to know Marta. She's always around during big family events, like birthdays and Christmas. Marta even came to my wedding. Moon and Randall are both leaving behind unfinished business in Naval this summer. Randall's salon, the best little hair house in Naval, can probably operate without him, though some of Randall's clients have reportedly fallen into cataclysmic fits of despair. Randall tearfully resigned as head of the Naval Days Beauty Pageant, which happens each year in August. Unwilling to see the post go to his arch-enemy at the First Combing Hair Salon, Randall worked furiously behind the scenes to name Norton Melbourne, owner of Heaven Sent Floral, as his replacement. Norton is a well-closeted gay man who spends an inordinate amount of time hanging around the best little hair house. Moon's situation is more complicated. She employs a team of polygamist women from Zion Flats to work at her skincare company. The recent departure of Orinda, the cook, along with the ever-so-spooky Evangeline, put the whole workforce in jeopardy. Nephi Stratton, the prophet of Zion Flats, paid what can only be described as a menacing visit to Gecko's Gulch after they took off. My wife was the one who had to deal with this nad nuzzler. Under normal circumstances, I would have filed a restraining order. Then I learned the feds were hot on Nephi's tail, so he'll be in the clink soon enough. Moon's friend, Nadine Reinhardt McElprang Stratton Viapondo Davenport Milner, volunteered to fill in at Good Karma. Nadine has the face of one of Raphael's angels and the body of a deflated balloon. At one point, she was tipping the scales at nearly 300 pounds. A health scare turned Nadine into a titanic tofu gobbler. You'd think Nadine would have huge sheets of saggy skin hanging off her, but that's not really the case. She attributes this punctured look to her religious use of Good Karma products. Nadine was Moon's business manager until she got run out of Naval for icing several of her previous husbands. Assisted suicide is a common practice in this part of the world, but in Naval, they want it to be carried out by the Masonic Order of Moroni. The Order is a group of religious gacks who are so sure of a perfect afterlife in the celestial kingdom, they can't wait to help their fellow parishioners get there. Nadine went rogue with these same intentions, resulting in outside authorities snooping around Naval. The Order wasn't about to disband, so they showed Nadine the door. I couldn't help but wonder if Moon had an ulterior motive in bringing Nadine back to Gecko's Gulch. The final days of cancer can be brutal, leaving me to speculate if this was a weird form of quick death insurance from Marta. On a personal level, I believe no one has more right to terminate a life than the person who is living it. As a doctor, I stay way the hell away from this kind of controversy. Grim Reaper tendencies aside, Nadine has a mothering effect on everyone she comes in contact with. Blue was actually friends with her first, having lived in Naval for many years before Moon bought Gecko's Gulch. It will be good to have another person around to keep an eye on the boys. From all accounts, Brandon and Taj have stirred up a whole lot of shit this summer. Afraid of being labeled as a mean stepmom, Blue lets these two slide on things most adults wouldn't tolerate for one nanosecond. Tom Wakefield came to collect Taj, only to be talked out of it by Blue. Brandon says Taj has a lot of mommy issues, which likely aren't going to get better anytime soon. His mother, Dana, plans to stay in New York and serve as a long-distance parent. Blue considers Dana to be a good friend, though it's unlikely they'll be spending much time together in the future. No offense to Blue, but I'm glad we're getting Tom in the divorce. He's become one of my closest pals. It's fun to have someone to do father and son stuff with. In fact, Tom is bringing both of the boys to New York for the big Rectal Fest splashdown on Labor Day weekend. Originally, we were hoping our wives and my daughter, Lexi, would be joining us. Now I'm not sure if Blue wants to meet me anywhere except divorce court. Most follically challenged nerds, lucky enough to land a hottie like Blue, would never take off before they even celebrated their first wedding anniversary. Besides my current financial woes, I felt like I had no choice. Back in the early days of the rectal surgeons, we made a pact called the Rectal Rules. Basically, this meant no girls were allowed on our tours. The pact was based on the premise that Yoko Ono broke up the Beatles. The whole thing was ironic, since none of us had girlfriends or even any prospects at the time we formulated the Rectal Rules. I've been simmering in a stink pile of secrets all summer. First and foremost, I was hoping to spare my son, Brandon, the shame of having to tie his genetic wagon to that greasy goober, Drew Compton. To my surprise, Drew isn't backing down from his paternity fight, even though it's probably costing him plenty to do so. From the looks of it, I'm teed up to lose this battle. Drew doesn't give a gold-plated crap about Brandon. He just wants his sperm to make him famous. Operating under the schizo idea that he's going to be the next breakout star on Celebrity Cougars, Drew wants to discredit me as Brandon's father. I can only assume he doesn't know the show is tanking. My ex-wife, Colette, is already scrounging around for other ways to gouge me. If she keeps this up, she'll be joining Drew in the pool of people I'm going to sue for child support. It isn't the money I'm after, although at this point I could really use it. What I need is for these leeches to get the fuck away from Brandon.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. In the mood for a killer audiobook? Quirky Killers by Adele Park is the story of a serial bride who sends her husbands to heaven in a hurry. Too bad the cops don't see the humor in this and arrest this woman who is just trying to make sure everyone gets to meet God. Quirky Killers. Get it today on Audible.com. You'll die laughing.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We now return to more of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park on Pet Life Radio.
When we split up, I gave Colette whatever material things she asked for so I could get sole custody of our kids. Part of her settlement was the McMansion, which is now threatening to ruin me financially. Against my better judgment, I secretly bought the place back, knowing she'd cut a lousy deal just to get some quick cash. I'm beginning to understand why they call this kind of idiocy throwing good money after bad. Now I'm strapped with this vulgar abomination, probably until hell freezes over. Or until the economy gets better, which is basically the same thing. I knew that recruiting Nancy Neptune to help neutralize Drew was a risky move. I took my chances, eager to get this thing over with so I could concentrate on shoveling my way out of my shitload of debt. Now it appears that all my efforts are likely to get me is another divorce. Blue figured out Nancy was staying at my place when she Skyped with her stupid cat, Skitters. Now Blue knows I'm back in the McMansion and that it's part of our growing debt portfolio. Not wanting to get caught in another lie of omission, I coughed up the fact that Stephen Finch, Blue's ex-boyfriend, was also staying at the McMansion with me. The one piece of information I withheld is that Stephen is now pickling the prime meridian with Nancy Neptune. I had nothing to do with this unholy union, so I'm not going to own any of it. Based on my latest Skype session with Brandon, I'd say he's fully aware of the Nancy Neptune debacle. He slouched in his chair, looking down instead of at the screen. Brandon knows this kind of thing really annoys me. I couldn't get more than a yes or no answer to any of my questions. I'm beyond happy that Brandon has formed a bond with Blue, but I felt like I was being double-teamed. It was time for a little truth serum. The thought of admitting Drew is Brandon's biological father is about as enticing as marinating a good steak in a urine sample. "Brandon," I said, "please look at the screen. There's something you should know." It was one of those awkward things like Darth Vader revealing to Luke that he was his father, only this was worse. "I'm not your biological father, Brandon." I wasn't sure of what type of reaction I was expecting, but the blank look on Brandon's face wasn't it. "Colette was already pregnant with you when we got married," I explained. "Your biological father is a man named Drew Compton. He's filed a lawsuit seeking to establish paternity." Eager to boost my side of the story, I continued. "Drew wants to be on Celebrity Cougars. The producers think it would make for explosive TV to delegitimize me as your father." I couldn't help but get a dig in at Colette. The only jizz Colette has, as far as the show's producers are concerned, is her link to me. If she can prove my claim to be your father is a hoax, it might boost her chances of staying on the show. This got his attention. Not so much the news about Drew, but the fact that Brandon's name might be dragged through the mud for this ridiculously humdrum reality program. Colette's hard-on for fame is pathetic and really unfair to our children. Suddenly worried about how this might affect Lexi, I quickly added, "I know for sure Lexi's mine. I had some tests done at the hospital when she was born." Brandon was looking at the screen now, but he still didn't register any emotion. "I had similar tests done when you came along, so I've known this for quite some time." I went on to explain that Colette wasn't aware of the test, thinking she had me fooled. My stupidity is such a well-established fact, it's no wonder Colette thought she'd pulled it all off. "Brandon, I didn't care about paternity then, and I don't now. As far as I'm concerned, you're my son, and you always will be." Brandon sat defiantly drooping in front of the screen. It unnerved me. "Look, Brandon, if you want to meet your real father, I'm happy to make those arrangements." I wasn't expecting this line to be the one that shook Brandon out of his stupor. "I don't like my kids to cuss, but back in the days when we were in family therapy, they were encouraged to express themselves in whatever terms they wanted when we were in the so-called safe circle. Some of the words Brandon used to describe Drew included booger goblin, turd muncher, and split liquor." That last one really caught me off guard. Good lord, Does Brandon have any idea what a split licker even implies? Besides being in the safe circle, I really couldn't complain about any of these terms. Not when I make a good percentage of my income singing songs like Dropping a Double Deuce. Split licking aside, the most shocking thing Brandon said was that he already knew about Drew. When I asked how he knew this, Brandon gave me one of those snarky, "God, Dad, haven't you heard of Google?" responses. Not only had he known Drew was his father, but also that he has two stepsisters. I've never met them, but if they're anything like their mother, I'm sure they're sweet girls. In an effort to be transparent, I told Brandon the mother of Drew's other children was a nurse named Belinda, one I had a lot of respect for. I was relieved that Brandon wasn't inclined to meet any of them. But if Brandon ever changed his mind about getting to know his stepsisters, I'd make it happen. This subject didn't seem to interest Brandon much. What he wanted to know was why I was cavorting with Nancy Neptune, Blue's not-so-secretly sworn enemy. I physically blanched when Brandon asked if he could live with Blue if we got divorced. Appalled as I was by this suggestion, it really didn't surprise me. Blue treats both of my kids as if they were her own. She'll make a great mother someday, although I was hoping it wouldn't be anytime soon. But if wishes were fishes, we'd all have a fry. I found that out as soon as I picked Blue up at the airport. After the Nancy Neptune fiasco, I convinced Blue to fly to Hartford in hopes of salvaging our marriage. Nadine was at Gecko's Gulch, so I knew the boys would be in good hands. The first thing Blue did after getting off the plane was make a manic run for the restroom. Blue's hand was covering her mouth, so I knew she didn't have to pee. Sweet Jesus. I know a pregnant woman when I see one. My ex-wife, Colette, turned into a barf-o-matic both times she was preggers. I paced outside the women's restroom, nervously wondering who the father was. The answer hit me in the eye like a big pizza pie. Memories of Father's Day weekend still left me dizzy with desire. I was getting a stiffy just recalling it. Blue stayed in the restroom for a long time. She emerged shaky and sweaty. I gathered her in my arms and said, "Is it a boy or a girl?" Blue seemed shocked by my question, asking how I knew. I said, "Well, for one thing, I'm a doctor. Never mind the fact that the hole I operate on is below the one in question." Blue started to cry. That's when I remembered what a plonker I'd been the last time we discussed having kids. Of course I wanted to be a father again, especially with Blue, since I knew she actually wanted to have kids with me. The easiest way to resolve this dilemma was to shout out, "I'm going to be a father!" One of the women making her way into the restroom stopped to congratulate me. I was liking the attention. "Hey everybody, my gorgeous wife Blue is going to have my child!" Some of the travelers near me began to applaud. One even took some footage with a cell phone. Just to ensure it got posted to YouTube, I said, "Mrs. Scotty Sphincter is expecting. Find out about our rectal repeat by visiting the rectal surgeon's website. Note to self, update the website ASAP.
Don't be a jerk. Listen to the quirk. Quirky Cat gets ghosted, that is. This zany audiobook by Adele Park is The Cat's Meow. Find out what happens when a ghost gets trapped at the DMV and requires the assistance of a snarky cat named Skitters to help her cross over.
I'm so happy I could heave hairballs.
Quirky Cat gets ghosted. Get ghosted today on audible.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.